yourself accountable can be hard because reprogramming yourself is not a one-off thing. It takes time. It takes dedication. The subconscious mind, it took a lot of time to get that programming, and to get it reprogrammed takes an equal amount, if not more, time and dedications.
Welcome to the Phase 4 podcast, inspired by Vishen Lakhiani and Ajit Nawalkar, co-founders of EverCoach, a division of Vine Valley. In this podcast, we speak to coaches and creatives about where they were, where they are, and where they are going. This is the intersection of what we focus on expands, and your story is your superpower. My guest today is Jennifer Passima. She is a spiritual teacher, an intuitive life coach, a channeled alchemical healer, and she's so much more. She's just an all-around light worker, and you're going to see exactly why today. Grab a pen and a paper, because this is going to be a class. And Jennifer, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm honored to be here.
Yeah, I'm definitely grateful and already learning lots about you. But I usually kind of begin with just tell us a little bit more about yourself and what you do.
Yeah, so I am what I call a holistic healer. And that's because I like to offer healing on a body, mind, spirit perspective. So I offer intuitive spiritual life coaching. I offer what I've found for alchemical healing, and I could describe what that is in a moment if you're interested. And then I also offer health and wellness coaching, so very body, mind, spirit, to help people transform in all of the ways where they're seeking transformation.
Yeah, that's awesome. Body, mind, spirit is huge for me. I'm always thinking, like, what am I doing for my body? What am I doing for my mind? All of them, right? Because we know they all come together. You can call it emotional, psychological, physical, but all of them, they all play a part together. But I would love to know more about alchemical healing, and maybe how did you even end up in this space to begin with? Was this something that from when you were like young or?
Oh, that's quite a story. So, well, first I'll describe the channel chemical healing. It was called angel energy healing because I channel a seraph angel. So I don't know if you're familiar with the angelic choirs, but the seraphim is the realm that is just underneath Elohim, which is just underneath source energy. So they are the highest of the angelic choirs. And in all honesty, he's an ascended Arcturian. And so I had to open my brain up to reworking my understanding and my perspective of what we consider angelic beings or beings of the spiritual hierarchy, be they highly evolved beings or lower devolved beings, and what encompasses that those realms. And I also channel the ascended master Kuan Yin. She is the Buddhist goddess of compassion and mercy. And so they balance each other out, masculine and feminine, and they come into the back of my heart chakra and work through my physical body. So they'll move my physical body as they work on your energetic field. So typically the chakric field, the auric field. And within all of that, it encompasses the emotions that you're holding on to, beliefs that you're holding on to, how those things might have become densified and is manifesting physically. We pick up on all of that stuff. And the reason why I started calling it channeled alchemical healing was, well, Ian, the seraphim, really guided me to come to this new awareness, to shift what I called it, because not only what they helped me go through going through that inner transformation of transforming the lower wounded traumatic programming that is the base metal, right? The more base aspects of ourselves, and transform it up into our spiritual gold so that we're operating from our healed self. They helped me through that process as I'm helping clients, and they keep showing me new ways of doing it and new processes for me to help myself, and then I can share those with my clients. But they show me that it really is an alchemical process of transformation. And they actually showed me my new symbol, which you can't really see, but it's the golden caduceus with the two snakes with the chakras down it. I was sitting in the bathroom putting on makeup, and it just popped in my head. I was like, that is gorgeous. What is that? And then it just went snowballed with, oh, that makes me think of alchemy and alchemical transformation and spiritual alchemy and how I just went through that transformation and I help clients go through that transformation. Ah, so I started calling it that, but I love it because I don't just do energy healing and just like, bye, there you go, see you later, right? So what I've found in my practice is that a lot of people do what's called healer hopping, and they'll see several different healers because no one says, okay, we're going to get the ball rolling, but here's what's causing these energetic blockages. Here's how it's showing up in your life. And here are ways that you can reprogram yourself, right? So energy healers don't do the healing for you. They get the energy moving, but it's your responsibility as the client to then do the inner work to make the shift permanent, or the energy is going to go right back to the way it was before you saw the healer. And that's where the healer hopping comes in, because people tend to want to give over their, they like to disempower themselves and give over the responsibility of healing over to the healer. And that is not how healing works. That's not what healers do. And so it's really important for people who are seeking out healing to understand that they still have to take responsibility for doing their own inner work. But what I like about what we do, we meaning me and my guides, is we work with the people to show them how they can reprogram those subconscious mind wounding. And I also have, I provide the opportunity for accountability. I provide the opportunity for, okay, what's working? What isn't working? What changes are you seeing in your life? What aren't you seeing? What new things have cropped up? And so you have the opportunity of one-off session where I can, you're in the position of not being able to not be held accountable. Because holding yourself accountable can be hard, because reprogramming yourself is not a one-off thing. It takes time. It takes dedication. The subconscious mind is a bitch. You know, it took a lot of time to get that programming, and to get it reprogrammed takes an equal amount, if not more, time and dedication. So that's kind of what I do and how I do it and that sort of thing. Do you have any questions before you asked me how I got here?
Oh, yeah. We got to unpack that. There was so much in there.
Okay. I know. So I'm going to do my absolute best to make this a Reader's Digest story.
Yeah, for sure. I think, so the base metals, right? So
yeah.
And then, so alchemy. First of all, alchemy, right? What a perfect name, because you're talking about mixing the feminine and masculine for the bottom.
Yes.
To the top.
Yes.
Then we're looking at chakras, right? Seven chakras. So the bottom three, and then we're getting to the heart. That's where we want to end up, in the middle. And so you bring the top three down to help the bottom three come up.
Yep.
And then obviously, yeah, this personal development space, like not even healing as well, but personal development. How many of us, and I've done it too, but how many times have you like bought a course or started a course and not finished it, right? So what, what you're saying is, yeah, we need to take responsibility for it, and it's up to you. The information is there, but if you don't use it, you lose it.
Yes, do the work. And it's not easy, like shadow work and going, oh, I just realized that I push people away when I find that they love me in a way that I don't feel like I deserve. So I sabotage the relationship and I let them go. Oh, like it can be ugly. It is not a fun process. But once you see how your wounded programming operates and how it presents, and you can go, okay, so that is not who I want to be. So who do I want to be? What is the lie that is making me operate that way? And then what is the truth that I can replace that with? And what would it look like? And what would it feel like to be the person that is the healed version of me? What would that version of me say? What would that version of me do? How would it feel? How would I carry my body differently? What emotions would that elicit in me? And when you can create that image, and I do mean visualize it in your mind in an alpha state, right? And lay it out, and that's a lot of where the reprogramming starts to come in. And then you also can add in affirmations, where, you know how I said we find the lie? Well, you kind of find the core wound, and you make, I don't want to use the word affirmation of the lie, but it's the only way I can think of it. But it's basically a lie statement, like what's the meat and taters of the core wound, and create a statement around that. And then you find its positive opposite. And then that's where you can start creating a core affirmation. And from there, you can make other affirmations if you want. So as you're mentally role playing this new version of you on a daily basis, either just before you wake up or just before you get out of bed or just before you fall asleep, and you're generating these emotions, you can start to, in your mind, not out loud, because out loud is a conscious thing. When it's in your mind, it's more subconscious. As a mantra, start to repeat these affirmations, but it has to be done daily. And then you want to look at, okay, so I'm doing it here, I'm rehearsing here, but what actual actions can I do differently in order to be this new version?
I want to know all about that. Before that, when you're doing it in your mind, are you saying the word I, or I've heard you say thy instead?
So thy is what I'm referring to, source. So if I'm asking for guidance and support, if I'm setting an intention, if I am inviting source, infinite source, and my guides in, I will say, as thy will, so mote it be, or as thy will, it is done. So it's not my conscious self who's, so our conscious selves can have a limited perspective, right? Our perception is so limited that we can limit ourselves with regard to potentiality in terms of manifestation, right? What are the potential possibilities of what I can manifest, right? And I'll be like, I want a blue Mercedes and $100,000. I don't know. I'm just pulling stuff out of my rear end. But like, we get so specific, but What if your guides are up there and your higher selves up there going, okay, that sounds amazing, but you go, is that the blue Mercedes is going to be a raging pain in the rear end to take care of because it's going to keep breaking down and it's going to be expensive, but there's this other car that you're going to love even more that is going to fit your personality, and then you want $100,000? Oh, honey, we've got like $300,000 waiting for you. So instead, you can say, I place this order. This or something better, please, as thy will, it is done, instead of my will. Because my will, as I will, so would it be, that's actually very, I'm going to be real straight up. It's kind of satanic and Luciferian. It's very, I'm controlling my will instead of letting spirit control my will, my higher self control my will. And right. So I'm very careful about not letting me take the bull by the horns, but letting source and my divine aspects and God could take the bull by the horns.
Yeah, that's one that took me a while, is the part where like you do that, right? But then there, you have to surrender, and maybe there's something better out there. Maybe you don't get
yes. it. Yes, exactly. And to go back to I versus thy, so when you're doing an affirmation, you do want to use I am. You do want to do that. And so that's why I want to clarify. So yes, I am experiencing my full value and worth. You know, I allow myself to receive all that reflects my soul's magnificence. I am worthy of being loved wholly and completely, deeply. I. And so as you're saying, I am, or I, that's you telling you you're worth this and this is true for you. And you're also then playing that mental picture of, as you're seeing through your eyes, you don't want to see yourself at a distance. You want to perceive this through your eyes and in your body. Like that's where I was talking about, how does your body move, feel differently? How do you feel internally, these experiences? Because that's how you're, again, role playing to actually become this. Does that make sense?
100%. The identity thing is huge, right? And it's like, part of me is like, yeah, it definitely matters where your past is, and we want to honor and respect that. But
yes,
like, what do you want to create? What identity? You use the right word, identity, right? Step yeah. into it. Picture the identity you want, and then there's resistance between here and there.
Yes.
You have to slowly go towards it. And yeah, like mine is easy. Running, okay? I wanted to become a runner. I wanted to become a writer. How do you do that? Well, you got to start writing and running. Like,
yes, exactly. Even if it's baby steps, like do something to take an actual physical action step. Don't just do the mental reprogramming. You've got to actually do something. In order to be that person, you have to do the things that version of you would do.
I have a question about the visualization. You said it. I was going to ask you, do you do it every day? You said like the same one over and over again. But I find when I do this, right, when I go into that picture of like, okay, so I'm going to use speaking on a stage. This is my thing I'm in right now. But okay. Every time I revisit that visualization, there's like a little bit more that I didn't see the time before. Like someone's sitting here or the smile and then all of a sudden you smell. And so every time you revisit.
That's even better.
Yeah, the same visualization. So,
but that's even better that you're making it more and more real. The more real you can make it with the smells, with the people, and even seeing how other people respond to you. Like if, like you said, you're standing on a stage and you're talking, and you're looking at how they're responding to what you're saying, and the lights, and do the lights feel warm? What does your body feel like? How are you standing? What emotions? Like, the more visceral you can make it and the more details you add, that's even better.
And for, okay, channeling. So are we talking like Abraham Hicks? Is it you? Is it someone else? Can you expand and explain what it looks like? Maybe someone who doesn't know and what it is like. All right.
So channeling can encompass a lot. So even any psychic or any medium is a channel, because it's basically a channel is something or someone through which information, guidance, and messages pass through, right? So even if who is hearing a message from either your loved ones or your guides or spirit, and they either hear it their ear or they receive a mental picture or it's claircognizance and then they relay it, that's still channeling. There's also direct channeling where the energies or the beings will speak through and use that person as the channel, and they speak through them, and the person is very conscious of it. They're awake, they're aware, they know what's being said. They might forget it later because there's something called psychic amnesia, but that's direct channeling. There's trance channeling where the consciousness of the channel kind of steps aside, and that the beings step in, their consciousness steps in and through. Even automatic writing is a form of channeling. So channeling is actually a very broad term. The type of channeling that I do it varies. It's typically direct channeling when they are speaking, when I open up to let them speak through me. But I have found that I'm a little shy about doing that, and they know this. So when need be, if I'm a little uncomfortable about how I will be received, I admit that is one of the things I'm still working on is being comfortable to, you know, do direct channeling in front of people. I let them give it to me in images. I'll hear words in my head. They will give me, a lot of it is claircognizance and clairsentience. And then I just relay it to the client. Now, I will add that when I do intuitive spiritual, when I do intuitive spiritual life coaching, which is where most of the channeling comes in terms of giving guidance and messages, as opposed to when we're doing the healing, that's where they'll move my body and they'll put my hands in a certain way where I know where the issue is. And then they use claircognizance and clairsentience and whatnot to tell me the nature of the issue. Although I admit I don't get specifics, like I don't get your brother called you stupid when you're three and it's sitting in your heart chakra, but I get like the general idea. I don't spoon feed the information to the client because I feel like that's disempowering, right? It's way less impactful if I just hand it to them. But if I already know the answer and I can then ask a line of questions that will lead them down that same path, and let them come to that awareness themselves, it's infinitely more impactful. So I feel like I'm holding their hand and carrying a flashlight as we walk through their shadow. We're just shining lights on things. That's how it feels for me. So with regard to the channel, I hope that answered your question with regard to how my channeling comes out. Does that help?
Yeah, it does. And okay. Even that last part with the picture of the flashlight, that's the way to do it, right? I know there's footprints in the sand that foam from like,
Yes,
it's the same idea. Like, I'm not saying I'm God, but like I'll be with you the whole walk, right? You're gonna do the walk, but I'll be there with you.
Yes, exactly. And I'll help you see the things that you've had trouble seeing, but I'm gonna let you come to your own awareness on it.
Correct me if I'm wrong, you have something coming up April 21st?
Yeah, I'll be I typically do all of my sessions remotely, which is great because then I can be in my pajamas with no makeup on and so can the client. But it helps me to be, and not only did I find that it was way more powerful than when I was working out of someone physically on like on a healing table, it just it blew the lid off of the healing process. It was the weirdest, coolest experience I've ever had the first time I did a remote session. And then I was like, we're doing this every damn time. This is great. So I started doing in-person events, and that's what's coming up April 20th and 21st is an in-person event. But I thought, well, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So when I do in-person events, I offer mini healings, but I let the client sit in a relaxing chair while we're still working on them remotely, just like I do at home when I do the work. So it's interesting. It's
Do you
fun.
do Reiki too? I'm just seeing you go like this, and I'm wondering if you do Reiki.
Well, so after I was gifted with the ability to channel Ian and Kuan Yin, and they taught me our own modality. I noticed that human beings love it when you have a piece of paper that says that another human being taught you to do something. And so I started getting trained in, and I resisted Reiki hard. They knew I didn't want to do it. But they guided me to a way to learn it in a way that worked well for me. So I thought, okay, fine. I got certified in several different forms of Reiki. But I think the reason why they did ultimately want me to get certified was only so because so I'd have the piece of paper that other people love. But Kuan Yin resonates very much with that energetic frequency. Whereas like her energy feels a bit like warm water. Whereas Ian's energy feels like sticking my finger at a light socket in like a really good way. So I think it was more to just connect with her and her energies a little bit more, where with Ian, we had to do our own work to connect with each other and get my frequency up high enough to channel someone so high vibrational. That was an experience in and of itself. So
You
yes,
think it's tiring?
not anymore. No, actually, when the attuning was exhausting. But when we work, it's actually energizing for me.
All right.
Yeah,
Because I'm like,
it.
that must be so tired.
No, the attunement process was, and I'm gonna ask for forgiveness before I say this, but the attunement process to channel Ian alone, because he's so high vibrational, was a bit like being electrocuted while giving birth and having an orgasm all at the same time. It was the weirdest, most intense experience I have ever had in my whole entire life, that I don't know if I could describe it. And it took more than one attunement, but one was I will never forget. I was tapped out for the rest of the day, but it was intense. It was really intense. They had to that blow my circuits, but so but the but channeling Kuan Yin was very came much more smoothly, and I think it's just because of her frequency, and her energy is just much more soft and gentle, and so yeah, it's kind
Feminine,
of interesting.
masculine, right?
Yeah, exactly, very much so.
So Ian is fire and Kuan Yin is water.
Yeah, I guess you could put it that way. If you liken electricity to fire, yes, I would absolutely put it that way. Yeah, definitely.
Amazing. I have a question that comes up a lot. Empaths, coaches, right? Pure empaths. And taking on other people's energy, not knowing how to block, relax, release, and just get. And it happens all the time. How do you deal with not getting sucked into other people's? And like, you're so high vibration, I can see it. And
Oh, thank you.
you stop from getting sucked into like the news, the election, the economy, the recession, and just all that negative. Like, because I think a lot of coaches are empaths. That's why I'm asking that.
Yes. Well, there are a number of ways that people can do this. So for me, my biggest thing is practicing non-attachment. Just practice neutral observation. And I think that's where people have a really hard time, because people have a very hard time being a neutral observer. It's really a matter of practicing being in this world, but not of it, meaning remembering that this is just an illusion, it's a hologram, it's a play. We're all just playing characters. And it's also a helpful practice to learn when you're trying to become more self-aware, becoming a neutral observer, even of your own responses, your own behaviors. And so when you can learn to detach and just observe what's going on and not attach judgment or create a triggered response in yourself, that helps, because then it's like, okay, I see what's going on. I'm not going to contribute emotionally one way or the other. I'm not going to be holy crap balls excited about it, and I'm not going to be super devastated about it. I'm just going to go, okay, I see that that's what's going on. These are the good things about it that I or my personal perspective. These are the more negative, non-preferred things about it, like preferred and non-preferred as opposed to good and bad, right? There's a difference. Good and bad is judgment. Right and wrong is judgment. Preferred and non-preferred is more neutral observer, right? So it really practicing non-attachment helps. Also remembering that as empaths, the reason why we feel other people's feelings is because it's our gift to be able to process feelings for those who are unable to process it for themselves. And so again, it becomes a matter of not being attached to it. Know that it is not yours. When you can feel anger and you know it's not your anger, well, that's not mine, but I can find a constructive way to release it. Shielding and grounding, which is imperative. Doing, you know, if you're particularly sensitive and you have a hard time disconnecting and you feel overwhelmed, do very similar to the practice that we did before we went online, but with the heart breath, when you're bringing in the Mother Earth energies and the Heavenly Father energies into your heart, with the inhalation, you pull those energies in. And then on the exhalation, you blow a bubble out from your heart and you see this expanded bubble. You can visualize it if you'd like as an expanding tube. So if you're bringing down Heavenly Father energy as a tube of light around you and bringing up Mother Earth energy as a tube of light around you, meet it connecting in the heart and expanding from the heart, you can just expand the tube out. So you're a walking pillar of light, whatever works for you, but do whatever you need to do in order to create that mental visualization of that balanced masculine and feminine energies expanding out from your heart as your armor of God. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes lots of sense. It's perfect. I especially love the part about good or bad, like being the judgment, right? It's what it is. We attach meaning to everything. And
yes.
I know for sure that a lot of coaches this year are like sucked into it, and it's really difficult. But yeah, I love the way you explain it.
Thank you.
I would like to know more about your coaching. Do you do one-on-one groups? Like you said, you'd have that event coming up. Maybe we could share more about that event or whatever you want. And also you have a podcast, right?
I have a podcast and a YouTube channel. I admit I'm working on getting better about podcast content. But with the live event, it's in Jackson, Michigan at the Infinite Light Center. It's a two-day event. There's a link on my website for it in my event section, and I'm offering mini channeled alchemical healing sessions. So it's just a 20-minute in-person session to give people a taste of what a full session might be like and how I might benefit them. So don't necessarily come away, if you attend that event, don't necessarily come away from this thinking that in 20 minutes you will be forever healed from all your ailments and issues, but it's just a taster. But it's basically to help people get a better understanding of what I do and how I do it. So if they feel inclined, if they liked what they experienced, they can schedule a full session, or they can sign up for a program, whatever they prefer. So that's basically the meat and taters of that event. But I definitely love doing remote sessions, because then I'm free to work with whoever, wherever. And again, I do one-on-one sessions, and I do one-on-one sessions because each person, their issues and challenges are so unique to them. And I really like to dive in deeply into their specific issues, how that's showing up for them. I feel like group is good, but at this point, I really prefer giving that person that one-on-one attention and those specific to them, guidance, support, and tools and techniques that work specifically for their issue and challenge, if that makes sense. And it's particularly with health coaching. Like health coaching, obviously, things are going to be very particular for them and how they operate and what they like to eat and what their physical issues are, what their goals are, that sort of thing.
Amazing. So next, I wanted to go into like more like your podcast and the esoteric nature, the esoteric things you talk about. But as we're going to do that, you just brought up food. So I'm wondering, because you're way up here, this thing, health, food, sleep, all these things can help someone get higher quicker.
Ooh, Yeah, absolutely. And breathing too, even just the way you breathe impacts your frequency. So like for me, on my water, I put affirmations. I have an affirmation on my water. So it's very much like Masaru Emoto. I'm not sure familiar with him and his messages and water thing. So water to me has a consciousness. And so if you bless your water, if you put like a symbol or an intention on the water, that can help change the frequency of water. And I will say water, breathing, and sleep. Food is important, but water, breathing, and sleep are probably more important. And I say that because they sleep is how you process energies. It's one of the processes for the day. It sleep is how your subconscious mind processes experiences of the day. It's a sleep is truly a way to for your whole energetic system to process energies, right? Water helps ground you, but it also helps you conduct, how shall I say, helps you conduct energetic frequencies. So all of the soul, the Shakti, pick your term, as those energies pass through our chakras and pass down from source and up from earth, our body needs to have a way for those energies to be properly conducted throughout our energetic system. And we are mostly made of water. So hydration couldn't be more important. So it's really important for people to drink high quality water, particularly with the proper amount of electrolytes, whether you're getting electrolytes in your food, you're taking supplements, or you're putting in your water, doesn't matter, get them in your system. But make sure you're drinking at least half of your body weight in ounces of water so that you're not only grounded, but you're also able to, your body's able to process those energies. Like these eclipse energies, all paired with the solar energies. Yeesh, you want to talk sticking a finger in a light socket? So drink your water. Avoid processed foods. Stay away from excess sugar and excess refined carbohydrates. Live foods are obviously very important. Be mindful of eating too much dairy because those that can sort of dairy is hypergrounding, as just like meat is hypergrounding. But dairy can kind of be gummy to the energetic field, so just be careful about your dairy intake. But like low carbohydrate vegetables, low carbohydrate foods that are the least processed are really very good for you. The more nutrient dense you go and the more like Mediterranean diet you go, the more blue zone you go, that's a very balanced way to approach diet because you've got the grounding foods, you've got the elevating foods, you've got a lot of nutrient dense foods. It's not too high in carbohydrates, it's not too high in saturated fat, it's not how shall I say it? The amount is then more balanced as opposed to eating a crap ton of food, this huge plate, right? So all of those things tie into not only our physical health, but our spiritual health. That's why blessing your food, even just like blessing your water, bless your food before you eat it. Thank all of the beings and earthly mother and heavenly father who contributed to the bounty on your plate. All of it, all of that love and gratitude will change the food at a molecular level. I mean, we could go, this is such a rabbit hole you just opened up.
I love it. Like, sleep to me is number one for sure. But
Oh, sleep is so important.
when you're talking about water, it's like, okay, you need to conduct. So you can conduct yin, you need Kuan Yin.
Yeah, actually. Yeah, if you consider Kuan Yin water.
I love it. And
Hey,
then a little.
that's the alchemical marriage now, isn't
Yeah, there you
it?
go. And a little tip, someone's saying electrolytes, if you don't know what she's talking about, maybe even just a little bit of sea salt. Not enough that you're tasting it, just a little drop. It will balance it out.
Yeah, Celtic
And
salt and Himalayan salt are probably the best two options. You just put a little in the water, or you can put a little under your tongue before you drink. It's perfect.
yeah. The reason I asked that is like, because, okay, the reason why I think, I don't know, tell me if I'm wrong, but I think anybody can develop psychic abilities, intuition, and all of these things, but it's going to be a lot more difficult if you're like eating McDonald's every day.
Yeah, some people, so that's the fascinating thing is everyone is capable of it. And some people chose to incarnate into a body that whose genetic lineage already has those channels born into them. And then some people are born into a body where through the genetic lineage, those channels are not quite as open. And so I want to be very clear in saying that just because your those channels are open in a person does not make that person high vibrational. Channels being open, like a raging jerk face, can also be a psychic and a healer, okay? It's not a reflection of your soulful elevation. It's just a reflection of open or closed channels. But if your channels are closed, everyone can work on opening them. Breath work is one of the number one things. Meditation is another number one thing. Mindfulness and becoming self-aware is another a really important way to open those channels up, because when you're mindful and you're in the moment, you can pick up those more subtle levels of intuition where it's you get a thought in your head that you didn't that didn't come from you, but it can be really subtle when you're just starting out, or you get a gut feeling, but you have this present and you have to first pay attention to it. So those little subtle things of becoming more mindful and conscious of your every moment. And again, pairing that with the breath work, practicing meditation, practicing visualization, but also just meditation where you just focus on the breath and you empty your mind, because it's hard to be an open receiver if your brain is going blah, 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 yak, 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 yak. Even if the blah, 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 yak, 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 yak is you visualizing and saying affirmations, that's good. That's a good thing. But when you're looking to receive guidance and receive intuitive hits, you really have to have a quieted mind. And that's where counting the breath comes in, having a visualization that's in your mind's eye that no words, it's just like a ball of light. Maybe you visualize a pulsating ball of light, but something that gives your murky mind something to focus on so it will shut and zee up in. And when a thought comes in, just go, oh, there's a thought, and let it go out as soon as you become aware of it. Don't go like, I can't do this. I can't quiet my mind. I don't know how to meditate. I can't do it. Mind won't shut up. You're not going to get it right the first go. It just takes time. But all of those things will open up your intuitive guidance. All of it will. Everybody is capable of it.
Yeah, and it's practice. And like everybody, those thoughts come. Like, just let them come. Don't attach them. I think blue zones, that's what I want to, before we skip to the next, because blue zones, some people might not know, go check out the book, Blue Zones.
It's very cool. I think there's even a documentary on Netflix, I think. There's a very cool documentary about the blue zones. It's absolutely fascinating.
And then the other book would be Masa Muromoto, The Hidden Messages in Water, another fascinating book.
Yep.
I just wanted to make sure we get those before we skip on. There's a couple more things. I definitely want to respect your time and keep it in the hour.
Okay.
So I want to definitely podcast. I want to know about the solar eclipse coming up, and then we'll kind of wind down and have a couple more questions.
Okay. So solar eclipse first? Is that where we're going? Okay. just checking. So, I mean, obviously we had the lunar eclipse yesterday, and For me, I typically feel the energies leading up to it as opposed to like the day of. So I'll start experiencing it like the week prior. But expect an emotional roller coaster. Expect changes within. Like, expect to see your because it's an Aries. And so it's going to be about the self and how we operate. And now, I am not an astrologer, so I can't give you all the very cool details about what's going on. Chiron's doing something and something going on with Uranus is like conjunct Jupiter and Taurus or something. But the meat and taters is that this is a very internal shift, and it's a very personal shift. And it's basically like, well, alchemical transformation is another, it's that's just coming to mind, where it's like you start to see the ways in which you have your wounding has controlled how you operate and controlled how you perceive your value, and how you've allowed your perception of your own value to behave with others, to allow your, whether or not you allow yourself to receive financial success, love from others, It's going to be a very internal, personalized shift of, it's an opportunity to create a level of awareness of how your wounding has made you operate thus far and how you can now operate differently. Because Aries, like I said, is about the self. Chiron is about our personal wounding. And the other thing to look out for is, how do I want to say this? So Aries is ruled by Mars, and Mars is like the god of war, right? And so that can either be a good thing where we take action, right? Mars is action. So you take action then to be this new version of yourself, but also pay attention to whether or not you fight against the change. Pay attention to other people fighting against either their change or external change or becoming just argumentative. Pay attention to how this fighting can play out on the world stage, and know, okay, I have to phrase this next bit. Be aware that those who are making the big decisions are very, very aware of the astrology and how the astrology impacts not only people individually from an occult and alchemical standpoint with regard to how all the planets are, but as a collective, how it reflects the energy field of the collective consciousness, right? They're very aware of those things, and they utilize important times, important astrological events in order to do and bring about what they would like to create in the world and the type of world that they would like for themselves. So watch how things unfold and the timing of them, and see how it relates astrologically. And remember that it is your job to stay as a neutral observer as you watch it unfold, and then you can choose how you respond. Do you respond out of fear? Or do you respond out of, I'm going to put more love, I'm going to be the change I want to see in the world, and I'm going to take action on who I give my money to, who I vote for. I want to start gardening, creating my own garden or a community garden. I'm going to look at the type of currency I use. I'm going to look at what am I invested in. I'm going to look at whether or not I start connecting with more people in my local community and doing like trades and barters. I'm going to look at, you know, we're moving into the age of Aquarius, right? Pluto just shifted into Aquarius. And so now businesses are going to be run differently, and it's going to be more community oriented, because Aquarius is more community, whereas Saturn is more individual, and Saturn is very top down, whereas a Capricorn is ruled by Saturn, and Pluto is just a Capricorn. But Aquarius is very community and people oriented. It's about having multiple streams of income as opposed to just one job. And the way people perceive wealth and the value of things is going to be different. And it's the shift is going to start now. So start looking at what you value, why you value it, and whether or not there needs to be a change in that. Does that make sense?
Yeah. That's so good.
I would say if your listeners like astrology, go listen to Pam Gregory, Molly McCord. I think those are the two biggest. Astrology with Heather, and I can't remember her last name, but she's another good one. But those are all really good resources for astrology. At least those are my favorite ones anyway. I'm not an expert.
Yeah, I did an episode in like the very first episode in January this year was like a forecast, astrology forecast. And the girl said a lot of the similar things that you're talking about. So, yeah.
Oh, cool. Cool.
I guess podcast, tell us more about it. Like, it's definitely esoteric, and that will resonate with some people here. So tell us what you talk about, if it's just you, other people, or guests, whatever you want.
Well, mostly it's me, but I do like to have people I love. Like, I love interactions like this where the conversation just sort of goes. And so, but so far it's pretty much just been me, where I feel an inspiration of being guided to share some sort of bit of guidance or support or information, that I'll create a video of it. So I have to get that inspiration of, oh, okay, I get this. This is coming up for me, or this is, I'm being inspired to share this. So I'll come on. Other things to look for, though, is I'm going to be putting out some guided meditations on the podcast and the YouTube channel. Not terribly long, but just some brief, simple guided meditations to help with manifestation, to help with shifting perspectives, to help shift getting into a certain emotional state, to help to help people find more inner peace and allow themselves to create that new version of themselves. But I'm also going to be creating long form, more in-depth meditations that people can purchase on my website. So that'll be fun. But the podcast, I cover some like stuff about star seeds. I cover love, like selfless love versus selfish love. It's funny that I already talked about water in this one, because I'm actually going to make a video about the importance of water when it comes to spirituality and not only health, and like frequency. So that's another topic I'm going to talk about. So I try to cover all of the bases. I try to go kind of everywhere. But I will definitely be coming out with some more videos. So go check out my YouTube channel or check out my podcast. It's on Spotify, it's on iTunes, it's on, I think, everywhere you can access podcasts, but it's called Synergistic Healing. So there you go.
Yeah, we'll put the links in there for sure. Cool. And so as we begin to wind down, if this episode resonates with you, please like, subscribe, share, but no hard sell. And reach out to Jennifer. You've heard her. She's got a lot of different angles that you can help with, and definitely vibrating really high.
And <Thank you.
laughs> yeah. So intuitive life coaching, alchemical healing. And I guess I ask everyone this. This is a phase four podcast, and phase four in the six phase meditation by Vishen Lakhiani is all about creating a future 3 years out. So where is Jennifer 3 years from today?
Ooh, Jennifer is retired from her day job because she will have earned her pension at that point, because I've earned it. And she will be touring and doing more in-person events and selling her online course about shadow work. She will be selling her many varied guided meditations on her website, still offering one-on-one sessions, but also hopefully doing speaking events.
Nice. I love it. Integrate the shadow.
Yes, it's very important.
So I guess before I ask my final question, I kind of like to let the guests take it wherever they want. So if you have something to sell it. If you have a message of hope or inspiration or just something we didn't even cover, let me know.
Oof. Gosh, that's a great, okay, sort of free associating then. So I guess if you are interested in learning more about me or what I do offer what's called a transformation call. So if you want to talk to me about whether or not I would be a right fit for you or you'd be a right fit for me, that's a free 15-minute phone call. But just go to my website. I'm a weirdo. Just expect that. What you want to do, if you feel like scheduling a session, you can do it on the website. But as far as a message I want to leave people, I just feel like it's the most important thing. Two things are the most important. God, nope, there's a lot that's even more important. I'm just going to free associate if you don't mind. First, you are always in control with how you respond. No one controls how you respond to a situation. You are always in control of your feelings. Now, you either choose to consciously respond or you choose to unconsciously react. But either way, no one has made you feel a certain way. You are always in control. The other thing that I want to add, that with regard to taking responsibility to your own healing, yeah, not fun, kind of sucks, but you know what? When you see the potential for how much better you can feel about yourself, and the less you take personally, the less you're triggered, the more relaxed you are, the more joyful you are, when you can see how much more free from yourself, from your own triggers, from your own wounds, you will be on the other side. Taking that time and that dedication to do your work, to do the reprogramming, to discover your wounds, to be more self-aware, it is so worth it. And you are worth it. You deserve it. I think that feels like the final note, if that's okay.
Yeah, I want to say a bunch of stuff, but it does feel like the final note. My final question is, usually how can people reach you? I think we did that.
Website, www.jenniferpassivant.com. I've got it. If you go to my website too, I have a Linktree link, and it will take you literally everywhere I am. There's also a link to my YouTube channel and my phone number. You can send me an email, you can send me a text, whatever. But my website is probably the best place to go, because then you can go to the Linktree and it'll take you everywhere from there.
Yeah, we'll put all those links in there. I wonder, can you tell us about your necklace?
This is Isis. Yep, this is Isis. And that's a lapis cabochon that I glued to it because I love the stone lapis, and it corresponds with the third eye. But I resonate very strongly with Isis. She obviously was the Egyptian goddess of love and fertility. She is the Egyptian version of Venus. And I resonate very strongly with the planet Venus. If you ever study Rudolf Steiner and anthroposophy and theosophy, Venus is an ascended version. It's like a future version of Earth that has achieved a certain degree of ascension. Many of our current guides and angelic beings are beings from that future ascended version of Earth. And I just really resonate very strongly with it. So I like to wear her pendant.
Amazing. Jennifer, I'm so grateful for your time. I could talk for another hour, but
I know this is so much fun.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. It was an honor and a pleasure. Pink, pink.